Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everyone. Welcome back to Quran 30 for 30. The question from yesterday's juz: many of the ulama say that Surah At-Tawbah omits Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim for a very specific reason, and there's a narration to that effect. What is the reason that most of the scholars say there is no Basmala on Surah At-Tawbah? The primary reason why there is no Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim on Surah At-Tawbah. We want to welcome you all back. Of course, we're joined by Sheikh Abdullah Udru, as always. And mashallah, personal favorite. I hope the other 29 guests don't see it. But Dr. Hassan Alwan, hafidhahullah ta'ala. Dr. Hassan, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, Shaykh.
It's an absolute joy and pleasure to be with you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and elevate you and increase you. I almost want to skip my section so we can just hear what you're going
to
say,
Shaykh. Same here. I want to skip and just sit in your company, both of you, and listen to the company of righteous people.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us to
healing to the heart,
may Allah Azza wa Jalla make us to your expectation, Shaykh. Shaykh, I'm going to take a covenant from you, because we're talking about ahd in this, before we even get started. I've heard that you teach an amazing class on Salah ad-Din. So we want you to, inshallah, present that with yaqeen, inshallah ta'ala. So can we get a commitment from you on camera?
Inshallah.
Takbir.
We put him on the spot. So something, Sheikh.
That's brilliant. I didn't even know he was going
to... Yeah. I didn't know either.
we want to benefit from you, Sheikh, inshallah, in some capacity. We always enjoy your company, always enjoy your lessons. And hopefully you'll forgive me for it. But for the benefit of everyone, inshallah,
alhamdulillah,
we would love to benefit from you within the night, as always.
It's a blessing. If you ask me for something, it's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the likes of mine are being asked by the likes of
bless you and increase you. Inshallah ta'ala, with that, dear brothers and sisters, we will go ahead and get started. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. You know, subhanAllah, the Qur'an is full of hope and fear. And the fear is meant to balance your hope so that you do not become deluded. And the hope is there so that you do not despair, even from some of the scariest verses in the Qur'an. And the last juz, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to us about the chances that He gives to people. How many chances He gives to people. And the right of the people upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the covenant that Allah azza wa jalla has taken from all of us as the children of Adam, which is essential to the story of Qadr. And then the right of the abd upon the Lord, the right of the servant upon the Lord. Who is the servant to even have a haqq, a right upon their Lord? But the hadith of Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu, of course, that the Prophet ﷺ explains that Allah Azza wa Jal, who assigns all rights, who creates all things, has given us a promise as well that if we believe in Him and if we worship Him and try our best, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not punish us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those that are spared from His punishment on the Day of Judgment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from His devoted slaves. Allahumma ameen. So here in Surah Al-Anfal, actually, I want to focus on this. Verse 50, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions when the disbelievers are passing away and what is happening to them with the angels. And I actually want to start with Juz 8, verse 111 of Surah Al-An'am, because we talked about this ayah, وَلَوْ أَنَّنَا نَزَّلْنَا إِلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ وَكَلَّمَهُمُ الْمَوْتَى وَحَشَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ قُبُلًا. That if we were to send them the angels, and let the dead speak to them, and assemble before their own eyes every single sign that they demanded. مَا كَانُوا لِيُؤْمِنُوا إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. They would not believe except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed, but rather most of them, وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ يَجْهَلُونَ. But most of them are ignorant of this. So there was a connection here. The angels and the dead. The angels and the dead. Here they're making a demand, and you can imagine the mocking spirit that, go ahead, Ya Rasulullah, go ahead, O Muhammad, bring about the angels, let them speak to us. Go ahead, make these dead people speak to us. And now, subhanAllah, just two juz later, two surahs later, in Surah Al-Anfal, verse 50, وَلَوْ تَرَىٰ إِذْ يَتَوَفَّى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا الْمَلَائِكَةِ. And if you could see when the angels take the souls of the disbelievers, يَضْرِبُونَ وَجُوهَهُمْ وَأَدْبَارَهُمْ. And they're striking their faces and striking their backs and saying, وَذُوقُوا عَذَابَ الْحَرِيقِ, and taste the torment of the burning. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Allahumma ameen. So you imagine the same person who's mocking religion, right? Because essentially, the nature, the particulars of how the religion is mocked changes over time. But there's a certain type of arrogance that comes with being able to mock the divine. And the particulars are really irrelevant. But Allah Azza wa Jal will cause them to taste the punishment of the same particulars they were mocking, right? So they mock death, and so punishment comes to them at the time of death. They mock the idea of resurrection, and so resurrection is a miserable experience for them, and their mockery is brought forth. They mock hellfire, and now they're tasting hellfire. And so in every generation, you find the different types of mockery of religion, and you can imagine the people mocking, oh, go ahead and let the angels speak to us. Go ahead and let the dead speak to us. And now they're dying, and the angels are speaking to them, but they're not speaking with only their words. They're striking them in the face. They're striking them in the back, and they're saying, وَذُوقُوا عَذَابِ الْحَرِيقِ, and taste the torment of that burning. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Allahumma ameen. And inshallah, we think of the angels with rahmah, with mercy, this beautiful creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah created them to worship Him, and we should experience the beauty of the angels. But when we fail to experience the beauty of our Creator in our own manifestation of deeds, and when we turn away from that guidance, then even the angels, these creatures of obedience, become creatures of punishment for us. And you know, I remind you, subhanAllah, the ulama talk about Malik, the gatekeeper of hellfire, this angel who guards the hellfire, and his appearance to the people of hellfire. And as the scholars mention, that while he has a hideous appearance to the people of the hellfire, Allah did not create him hideously, but he appears that way to the people of hellfire. May Allah Azza wa Jalla protect us. And verse 51, and this is so important from an aqidah perspective for our creed. ذَلِكَ بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَيْسَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ. This is the reward for what you used to do. Allah is not surprising you with anything. You said, show us the angels. You said, show us hellfire. You said, show us death. You said, show us the so-called resurrection. You said, where is this God of yours? You mocked and you put this forward. And so this is on you. This is exactly, بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. This is because of what you put forward. And finally here, subhanAllah, know that Allah is never unjust to His servants. And Allah Azza wa Jalla did not specify these particular servants, rather to any servants. Look, Allah did not wrong Fir'aun. أن الله ليس بظلامٍ للعبيد. Allah did not wrong Fir'aun. Allah did not wrong Abu Jahl. Allah does not wrong anyone. And so no one goes to hellfire unless they deserve it, and no one is punished unless they deserved it, and no one is given on the Day of Judgment except what they put forth. May Allah allow us to be people of ahd that we spoke about in the previous juz, people of a covenant who do their best to live up to that covenant, knowing that they need the mercy of their Lord to fill in the shortcomings and fill in the gaps. And may Allah Azza wa Jalla allow us to be received by angels of mercy and in a state of pleasing Him and being pleased. Allahumma ameen. Inshallah ta'ala, with that, I'll pass over to Shaykh Abdullah.
Barakallahu feekum. Being pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very important in regards to our creed, and understanding that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has predestined, what He has chosen, that is for a divine wisdom that goes beyond our understanding and capabilities. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, the exalted He is. I want to touch on a couple of verses in the chapter of Al-Anfal when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about the Battle of Badr, particularly when He's telling the Muslims to get ready and to prepare. From verses 61 to 63, roughly, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse 60, He's telling them, وَاعِدُّ لَهُمْ after أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَاعِدُّ لَهُمْ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةِ الْآيَةِ, and make ready for an encounter against them, all the forces and well-readied horses that you can muster. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after that verse, it's a fairly long verse, He continues on and He says, وَإِنْ جَنَحُوا لِلسَّلْمِ فَجْنَحْ لَهَا وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. And if they were to incline to peace, incline you as well. If they incline to peace, accept the peace. وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ, and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, surely He is the all-hearing and the all-knowing. He's all-hearing of what they may say, if they have any plans, and He is all-knowing, knowledge, again, His qadr, His predestination, His knowledge, knows what was, what is, what will be in the hypotheticals. So here when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the zahir, the apparent, Muslims, you take what is apparent in front of you and you work with that. For really, you do not know the unseen. But someone may say, this is war. You know, the war is khida'ah. They could possibly be planning something against us and lying to us and lying in our faces. If you see something that is of that nature, then you work on that. But if they come and want to have peace with you, you accept that desire for peace. If they incline towards peace, then you accept that inclination. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being al-alim, which is interesting, the next verse, what does He say? وَإِن يُرِيدُوا أَن يَخْدَعُوكَ فَإِنَّ حَسْبَكَ اللَّهُ. And if they wish to deceive you, For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is enough for you. This is so important because, as we mentioned, you may think that they have an ulterior motive and they are lying to your face. You work on what is apparent and everything else, tawakkal ala Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ensuring, again, your faith, your creed has a role in every single thing. Do not think that it is ultimately up to you, even in war, even with your istidad, your preparations, even in your numbers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, tawakkal ala Allah. Huwa alladhi ayyadaka binasrihi wa bil mu'minin. It's interesting here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes the verse number 62. He is the one who strengthened you with his help and with the believers. He doesn't leave out the fact that with his predestination, with his strength, with his creation, with his knowledge, with his wisdom, he's given you people that believe. But don't rely only on that. It is first with his nasr. Binasrihi wa bil mu'minin. And it could be understood that his nasr is with the mu'minin, that he helps you, and by his help, from his help, the manifestation of his help is that he is giving you the believers. And as a matter of fact, وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says after that, and he has joined their hearts. Yani, the people of the Ansar, they were people that were factions that fought against each other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought them together to fight for the same cause. Remember, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has brought the hearts together. وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ لَوْ أَنفَقَتَ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مَا أَلَّفْتَ بَيْنَهُمْ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ أَلَّفَ بَيْنَهُمْ إِنَّهُ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes here for all of us. For all of us here. He is showing that at this time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he told them to prepare for war, yes, you're preparing. Okay. If they incline towards peace, accept it. You work what's apparent in front of you. And if they have any plans, don't worry about that. Trust in us, for verily I am what? I have assisted you, and I assist you with the believers. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, as a matter of fact, I have joined the hearts. Had you had given away all of your riches, lo anfaqata ma fil ardi, if you would have spent everything that you own on the earth, ma alafta baynahum. He is ensuring and reinstating the fact that you do not have ultimate control. You do not have ultimate control. لَوْ أَنفَقْتَ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مَا أَلَّفْتَ بَيْنَهُمْ. If you were to make all of your efforts, all of your strength, all of your intelligence, all of what you had, your wherewithal, all the people that each had their individual capacities and sources of strength, it still wouldn't happen. This is important for us as Muslims to remember that Allah is ultimately in control. We say it, but when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses to take the life of a soul, whether it's our loved one, whether it's a child, whether it's those that disbelieve, whether it's those that you are fighting because of their disbelief is causing oppression against you and the believers, know that it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that brought you all together to even fight. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will take you away. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will bring you the victory, the nasr, and the defeat of those that disbelieve or those that are fighting against you. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, innahu azizun hakeem. He is aziz. He is the one that is almighty and all wise. This is beautiful. He is aziz. He is almighty. He has enough strength to take anyone out. He has enough strength to keep those and allow those to remain. And he allows those to remain and decides to take those off of this earth because of his divine wisdom. This is why belief in the knowledge of Allah, the wisdom of Allah, the predestination of Allah is paramount for our existence and our creed and belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially in times of hardship. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those that believe in his predestination and allow this to be a guiding light for us in everything that we do, what we think, and how we believe. Barakallahu feekum, Shaykh Hassan.
Jazakumullah khair. Jazakumullah khair, Shaykh. Beautiful reflection. And subhanAllah, Allah's al-jama'. Allah's the one that collects, combines together, brings together. And when we say Allah's al-jama', he's the one that can collect our hearts together. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like he collected the hearts of us together with the people that are watching, with the people here in Yaqeen. He's the one that brings this ulfa between our hearts. I ask him to collect between us and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and gather us with the righteous in the hereafter. And like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gathers our heart together, I ask him to gather in our hearts all good manners and all good morals and all good virtues. Ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa ba'd. So inshallah, like what I wanted to reflect on today is a concept that's in Surah At-Tawbah. And it's a very general concept, yet very powerful. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks here about the concept, why is it that sometimes as a human being, when I want to do something and I know it is good, but it's so difficult, I can't do it. Why sometimes I know there is a call for me to do something, you know, something, an enemy or something wrong is happening, and I know what to do, but sometimes I can't. Sometimes it's a call for fajr, and it's time to pray. I know what I should be doing, but it's so hard. What makes it easy for some people to respond to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether on an international level or even on an individual level, versus other people, it's not as easy. Why do I feel so heavy? What's the solution for that? What is causing this? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is verse 38 in Surah At-Tawbah, reveals this in the context of a battle, the battle of Tabuk, the Ghazwa of Tabuk, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the believers to respond to the call. Some responded very fast, but yet others didn't. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, therefore, in this verse says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, O you who believe, people that attained faith, مَا لَكُمْ إِذَا قِيلَ لَكُمْ إِنْفِرُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ إِثَّاقَلْتُمْ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ. O you believe, what's wrong that when you're told, stand up, mobilize, it's time to do something for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know what's right, you find yourself weighed down to the ground. You're pinned down, you're so heavy, it is so difficult. What's going on? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a reason. أَرَضِيتُم بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا مِنَ الْآخِرَةِ.
الله أكبر.
And the reason is very powerful. And the way Allah mentions it, so many lessons. Is it that the life of this world, you're satisfied, you found satisfaction, comfort, contentment in good things, that you prefer them over responding to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it that Allah was so generous and He gave you a good life? He gave you a good house. He gave you a good wife. He gave you a good husband. He gave you good kids. All good for Allah. But now, is that why? Because Allah's generous and He gave me and I found satisfaction in a difficult life. It blocked me from going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here, the concept I want to highlight is the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it. The way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it is He introduced the concept of rida. أَرَضِيتُم بِالْحَيَةِ. When we speak about rida, the contentment, satisfaction, everybody wants to be content. Everybody wants to be satisfied, legitimately so. I want to be happy, I want to be content, I want to be satisfied. But here Allah introduces a very deep question. The real question is not contentment and satisfaction and happiness. The Quran asks, what makes you happy? With what are you content? With what are you satisfied? With what are you happy? So that's more important. I want my son to be happy, but I'd rather my son be in hardship, crying, but is on the tooth, than my son be happy with falsehood, away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Quran points, the real question is not just contentment. Allah wants us to be content with the right things. Allah wants us to be happy with the right things. So the question here, when we speak about rida, that often people ask, we think about the following. Rida, contentment, means to be content with Allah's decrees. That's correct. To be content with Allah's provision for me, my share in this life. But the third one, to be content with Allah in exchange of everything else. Allah. And arda billah. So the ayah says what? Did you find satisfaction with worldly things? Is that it? Other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So ar-rida billah is when, no. You know what makes me happy? What is necessary for me to be happy? Closeness to Allah. Being with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With that, radit, good deal. Take anything from me. But as long as I have those things, I'm good. And to give you an example, this I learned that from my own son one time. And he was little and he wanted to go to a place called Knott's Berry Farm, you know, the roller coasters and stuff. I would never do that. Like, think about it. How much do I give you to ride one of those? You give me $10,000, I'm not doing it, right? But my son goes there and he tells me, Baba, can you ride with me? Guess what happened? I ride with him. And of course, it goes up and down and rolls and twists and everything. But I'm looking at him and he's smiling. Because he's smiling, when I went down, I got a yearly pass to Knott's Berry Farm.
Mashallah.
Because I saw what pleases me,
I wasn't happy, I wouldn't do that alone, because I saw his pleasure. What pleases him, please me. My pleasure in his pleasure. That's true love. When we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will never be satisfied with anything more than the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّ وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينَ وَبِمُحَمَّدْ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ نَبِيًا رَسُولًا. May Allah make our contentment with him as our Lord, with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم as our Prophet, and with Islam as our deen.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and increase you. May Allah azza wa jalla please you and all of us with the sight of our beloved Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. While he's pleased with us and with the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while Allah azza wa jalla is pleased with us. Allahumma ameen. Fear and hope. Fear and hope, fear and hope, right? Fear and hope. So subhanAllah, you go from, you know, angels beating you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, you know, why are you pleased with this? And there's something that just came to my mind, which I see as a combination. When the Prophet said, كُلُّ أُمَّتِي يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَبَى. Everyone enters paradise from my ummah except for those who refuse. Who would refuse paradise? Why are you refusing this gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah azza wa jalla yuridu an yatuba alaykum. He wants to accept your repentance. Yuridu an yukhaffifa ankum. He wants to make things easy for you. He wants to lighten your burden. And unfortunately, we foolishly think that if we turn away from Allah, we'll be happy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you, this temporary happiness is not good for you. Allah knows what's good for you. It's not good for you. Why are you resigning yourself to this? It's as if to say, subhanAllah, there's so much more that Allah wants to give you than this little thing that you're tasting here, and you're turning your eternity into torment, whereas your eternity could be an even greater experience. Because the believer finds rida in this life. The believer finds a happiness in this life that no one else can find. Right? No one else finds what the believer finds. If they knew what was in our hearts, They would strike us with their swords to get it out of our hearts. May Allah Azza wa Jalla make that the true reality of our hearts. But Allah wants to give you so much more. And there's a beauty here, a mercy here. And the first one that really said this in a way, subhanAllah, that I truly benefited, Shaykh Muhammad al-Shanawi, hafidhahullah ta'ala, when he talked about the mercy of Allah, one of his beautiful papers actually at Yaqeen. And by the way, his papers are always our favorites at Yaqeen, alhamdulillah. God's mercy, reconciling Allah's mercy with the punishment in the hereafter. And he talks about in that paper, you know, this idea, and I know that he draws from the research of Dr. Samir Amiri, hafidhahullah ta'ala, a wonderful scholar as well. This idea that how is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful to us with this punishment? By Allah telling you about the punishment to come and warning you from it so that you will be so afraid from it that you will not do the actions that will warrant it. That is from the rahmah of Allah. That's Allah's mercy. This is not good for you here, nor is it good for you there. From His mercy, He gives you these warnings. Who could mandate upon Allah to give a warning?
Right.
You know, like an oppressive authority, you know, doesn't give you a warning. It just carries out, right? It's part of the cruelty of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to Him belongs the highest example. And His mercy, He's giving us the warning here. Yeah. Not so that it can be like, just wait, but so that we can stay away from it. Because we are the people of Qur'an, as the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, read the Qur'an and take lesson, take the ibrah, stay back.
Yeah.
You don't want to come near this, nor should you take contentment in these gardens. Look forward to what Allah really wants to give you.
Yeah, subhanAllah. It's beautiful how you mentioned rida, because it just reminds me of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَيْسِ الْغِنَى عَنْ كَفْرَةِ الْعَرْضِ إِنِ الْغِنَى غِنَى النَّفْسِ. And with the rida, you reach ghina, right? With the pleasure, being pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and understanding what that means, you find this contentment with Him. You know, because I remember, you know, there was a youth that came up to me and said, you know, everybody in Ramadan, they're feeling, I'm not feeling it. So what would you, actually, I'll pose this question to you, Sheikh, being that you're involved in counseling as well. When the youth comes up to you and says, you know, I don't feel pleased with the prayer, and this youth, I'm going to be honest, when I'm involved in a certain drug, right? That is what is euphoric for me. I feel good. I feel happy. I know I'm escaping a problem, but I feel happy. How do we get our youth, or even any human being, to be honest, to transfer from, okay, they're happy with something other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, feeling, even family sometimes, yes, subhanAllah, to transfer over to happiness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
A very powerful question, subhanAllah, and it relates actually to this verse, because if you notice what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said is, أَرَضِيتُمْ بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. There is no problem in having a good house, or like being happy with something, right? Or like having satisfaction, but as compared to the akhirah. So I'll give a very simple example. I often tell people, rate what you love from 0 to 10, mm-hmm, right? So your house, mm-hmm, 6. Your wife, better be a 10, right?
For me it is, alhamdulillah.
Your kids, right? So, and then you say Allah. But the problem is Allah is like, I don't feel it, it's 2. And I love other things more. So if we start telling people, shun the life of this world, don't love them, don't get attached, I have to love. Mm-hmm. The proper way is, can we make your love to Allah 10,000? Keep your love to your wife as a 10. Keep your life, you know. So the key, if you love Allah, if you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does, because talab al-habib min al-habib rida, a true sign of a lover, the one that loves, and wallahi, it's true. Even young men, when they want to get married to a girl, the question in their head is what? Does she love me? Does she love me? And then the second question, what must I do for her to love me? Right? And this is exactly the question of rida, right? The contentment. To get the contentment, to change, I start by asking the opposite. It's not about my share from Allah. It's not about my pleasure or me. Can I ask the question, what must I do for Allah to be happy with me? What pleases Allah? What if I made a list of everything that pleases Allah and I did all of them? Allah, you know what happens? The answer to your question. Mm-hmm. Radiyallahu anhum wa radu anhum. If Allah is pleased with you, He will make you pleased with Him and all His decrees. Mm-hmm. So when we ask, I want to be like the people of Gaza, look at how patient, look at how you have such contentment. Right? How do I get that? And they say, well, the question, see, you want to get? No. Ask the question in the opposite way. Work on pleasing Allah. And Allah promises, if you do that, He will please you. Right? And Ibn Sheikh al-Sha'rawi in Egypt, he said something. He said, تَعْبُدُوهُ لِيَعْطِي. You worship Him so that He gives. He said, كَلَّا عَبُدُوهُ لِيَرْضَى. Worship Him so that He is pleased with you, not because of anything. And he says, فَإِذَا رَضِي أَدْهَشَكُمْ بِالْعَطَى. Allah. And if He is happy with you, Allah, you will see wonders more than what you asked. Allah. He will change your heart. Allah. So it starts by that. Don't focus on your share. Focus on doing the right thing. وَمَا لِأَحَدٍ عِنْدَهُ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ تُجْزَى إِلَّا بِتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِ الْأَعْلَى وَلَسَوْفَ
يَرْضَى.
The Quran speaks about this man that he gives left and right, and it's hard and it's difficult. And he's doing all this not because of any share. I just want you to be happy, Ya Rabb. And Allah says, "Wa lasawfa yarda." For this servant, I'll make him happy.
Subhanallah. And that's Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as-Siddiq, who struggled alongside the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in every way. What did he find happiness in? When Aisha radiallahu anha saw Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu get so excited to be the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Hijrah, take a journey of death. Wait, as-suhba ya Rasulullah. I get to be with you, ya Rasulullah. Who would be happy? It's like, you know, you tell someone you're going to fly economy. You're going to take the bus from Medina to they complain about that. You know, you're going to have no. Like, I'm going to be with the most wanted man, but it pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As-suhba ya Rasulullah. So that is indeed the pleasure of iman. And if you have not tasted it, then looking at the plate is not going to do anything. So immerse yourself, I think, so beautifully what you said. It's like a fundamental shift of how you approach religion. Stop trying to turn religion into a tool of this world. Religion is meant to guide you back to your Jannah. Take it back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as a result, Allah azza wa jalla will put the pleasure of certainty in your heart. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, Sheikh Hassan and Sheikh Abdullah. Like I said, we could have you for hours, Sheikh.
So
we'll just take a ahd from all the viewers, inshallah, as well, that you need to, inshallah, we need to see more of you, inshallah. May Allah bless you.
There is a dua that I want to share with everybody and with you, maybe.
Please.
It's good, like, you know. And it's the dua of Barid al-Islami, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, shouldn't I teach you a dua? That if when Allah wants good to someone, He'll make him say this dua. And it relates to this. Allahumma inni da'if. فقوي في رضاك ضعفي وخذ الى الخير بناصيتي واجعل الاسلام منتهى رضاي. Dear Lord, I am weak. So strengthen in your obedience my weakness. And take me by the forelock to everything good. And make my utmost satisfaction be in surrender and Islam.
Inshallah, with that, that's the best way for us to end. Inshallah, we'll put the dua in the comments. Barakallahu feek, Sheikh Hassan. We'll see you all tomorrow. Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.